You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Tuesday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 12:20pm with Sam Turner, Andrew Mount and Ross Briley in the studio. Good day to look forward to as well. It's Holden Gold Cup Day, Exeter. We've got racing on the turf at Redcar and all-weather action on the fibre sand at Southwell in the afternoon. More action in the evening as well on the Tapita at Wolverhampton. So plenty to look forward to. My name is Mark Walton and joining me in the studio is Mr. James Millman. How are you, James?
Very well, thank you, Mark.
Good, good man. You sound chipper.
Yeah, I'm not too bad at the moment. Yeah. Enjoying my time off.
Good. We're going to look at the Monday jury as we usually do on this early edition of the podcast, and then we're going to get stuck into Tuesday's racing. James has four races to look at for us. But before we get to that, James, plenty of news. We had some good jumping at the weekend. We had the Breeders' Cup as well. Anything stand out to you before we get stuck into the Monday jury?
Just great to see jumping back. A lot of good jumpers in action. And I personally enjoyed the Breeders' Cup, actually. Slightly earlier than normal.
Wasn't past your bedtime.
Wasn't past my bedtime, no. Didn't have to stay up too stupidly late to watch the Classic. And saw a brilliant performance from American Pharoah.
Yeah.
Great to see. And it was great to see that Golden Horn was in action. Unfortunately, he got beat, and we're going to discuss this a little bit later. But, it was a good meeting. I enjoyed it, to be honest.
American Pharoah was impressive, wasn't he?
So easy. And just destroyed him. Yeah. And like I say, he made it look so easy, but I think there's nothing else could get near him. He's a little bit like Frankel. Mm. Obviously, unfortunately for him, he did get beat that one time in the Travers, I think it was, whatever race it was. And yep. Like I say, frustrating for his record, but he's loved by the American public. He's brought the sport into the wider media, which I think is always key.
Yeah.
And no, he's been great for racing.
Yeah, when you normally talk about a horse making history, it's repeating something that another horse has done. It's just been a long time between. The Triple Crown, for example. But for him to win the Triple Crown and then win at the Breeders' Cup, to win the Breeders' Cup Classic, no horse has ever done that.
Nope.
So
a Grand Slam, they kind of called it, didn't they?
Yeah, they did, yeah.
And a cracking effort, and he's proper tough. And like I say, they nearly retired him after that defeat. Luckily for us, they kept him going, and it's certainly the right decision, and great training performance. And I'll say, it's great to see.
Hmm. Let's get stuck into the Monday jury then. You've mentioned that we'll move on to Golden Horn. The first question is around Found, who beat Golden Horn. With another year to mature, does Turf winner Found strike you as an Arc winner?
Well, it all went wrong in the Arc, didn't she? She didn't have anywhere to go on the bridle. You never know. We see fillies have done well, haven't we? Trev, Zarkava, and she's certainly doing well. She's tough. She had a real busy season, yet she's come back for more. She did that quite nicely. She loves a bit of ease in the ground. I wouldn't say why not. We need to see what stars turn up next year, how good the three-year-olds are. She's probably the only one, really, from this year's crop that's going to be going back there again. So, yeah, I wouldn't see why not. I think she's certainly one to be interested about.
Yeah, I mean, she's beaten this year's Arc winner. She's come very close to him as well before that at Leopardstown. So the form should stand up, shouldn't it, if she strengthens up again?
Yeah, I think the fact that they're keeping her in training, and Aidan O'Brien, it must be said to Cornwall, look, there's chance of further improvement next year. So we'll give her a go. I think with a filly, it's always easier to keep them in training an extra year, because obviously they can only produce one offspring a year, whereas a stallion's going to have 120, 130. And ultimately, they might not get in foal. Or like Zarkava, her first three foals haven't even made the track for the Aga Khan. Obviously, the fourth one by Dubarbe won impressively on two-year-old debut the other day. But it just shows you how hard it is sometimes with mares. So I think it is easy to keep them in training. But I think that she'll have a fascinating next season.
All right. Is juvenile turf scorer Hitty to Bomb a classic winner in waiting?
Possibly. He's not really gone the traditional classic route, is he? Winning at Dundalk and then going to the Breeders' Cup. But he did show an impressive turn of foot, because from stall 14, Ryan didn't have a lot of option, but drop him in. They went off very, very hard, but he made up a lot of ground in the closing stages. It was a cracking effort. He is a very, very nice horse, but I'd say he might not even be the best two-year-old in the Ballydore yard, never mind or the others. I think he's nice, but the races he's running does suggest that he perhaps isn't the best at Ballydore, but I was impressed.
How do you account for the British runners drawing a blank at Keeneland?
Well, the thing is, for the British horses, is the fact that generally the Breeders' Cup is a tag-along. It's not really the main target of their season. Obviously, the Ark and Champions Day, etc., would have been more their bigger targets. And probably the ground was a little bit of an issue, because generally horses that we send out to Breeders' Cup, we go there expecting firm ground, really. Something that you don't very rarely get in English racing. But a lot of rain at Keeneland. The ground was very chewed up on the inside. And it certainly was a massive factor, I think, because Golden Horn, we know he doesn't really like soft ground. He can perform on it, but he's not the most effective on it. Roger Charlton's horse, Time Test, he didn't want soft ground, and obviously he got it. Illuminate, she was a doubtful stay of a mile, but especially in that ground, it was never going to help. So a lot of horses went there expecting quick ground, and unfortunately it rained. It's not like you go to Newmarket, you can take them back down the road. Unfortunately, when you've gone halfway across the world, you've got to run wherever the ground is. So most of those horses probably wouldn't have run if it had been in England. So I think that's half the problem. And then the fact that, like I say, it's tagged on to the end of the season, it's not really a specific target for them. But I didn't really think any of them were shocking this one. I mean, there was reasons why. And like I say, David O'Mara very nearly had a winner in the mile with Mondelez, who ran an absolute cracker, staying on from an unpromising position. So we got close, but like I say, not particularly surprised as such, just because of the horses we had and the ground that was there.
Yeah. George Baker's comments in the Monday during the racing post are quite funny. He describes the track as Chester on speed.
Yeah.
And it's completely different to any track over here. So
Santa Anita, another one. I think that the tracks are tighter than Wolverhampton. And when we look at Wolverhampton, we think that's pretty tight. And I say Chester, comparable. It's not ideal, but that's the American racing for you.
Mm. Which of the Keeneland winners would you most like to see at Royal Ascot?
The sprint winner, Run Happy and Mongolian Saturday, the turf sprint and the dirt sprint. Obviously, Run Happy is a completely different test for him if he went back onto the turf. That's probably unlikely, but to be fair, the turf winner, turf sprint winner, Mongolian Saturday, he won well. And you'd imagine that Nick Smith from Royal Ascot, who tries to get international horses over, he'll be trying to get them over. And I think they were quite entertaining on the old TV there, and perhaps that could be one to keep an eye on. But that's a hit at a bomb. I just said earlier on that perhaps he's not even the best in Bayador, but he's probably the most likely to be running at Royal Ascot just because of his connections. Probably the Mongolian Saturday would probably be the one.
Be interesting to see how the connections of Mongolian Saturday would dress for Royal Ascot, because she's supposed to wear top hat and tails, and they were there in their traditional Mongolian dress. Imagine if they turned up with that with a top hat as well.
Yeah, be different, wouldn't it?
It would.
I'm sure Gok Wan will have something to say about yeah, what they're wearing, or whoever is the Channel 4 fashion correspondent. But yeah, because you've got to be careful, they don't let you in. Somebody ain't.
Imagine that, they don't let them in.
Could be interesting.
Mm. The next question to Monday Jory is about trip to Paris in the Melbourne Cup. Obviously, this goes out Monday night, but also for Tuesday. So we'll change the question up a little bit. We'll talk about some jumping from the weekend. Q Card and Safir de Ruhr both got quotes for the Hennessy on the back of their respective wins at the weekend. Safir de Ruhr, 5-1 favourite. Kernigree is 7-1. 8s for Don Poli. Vroom Vroom Mag, 8s. 10s for Don Cossack. Pendra is 12s. 14s for Q Card and Dynast. King's Palace, Southfield Theatre, and Valsalido also 14-1. And 16s or bigger for the others. Could you see those having an impact in the Hennessy this time around?
Yeah, definitely. All those that you've mentioned are going to be key contenders. Like I say, to be fair, jump racing really got going this weekend. Kukar, very impressive. Good to get him back. Obviously, he's had a few well-documented problems. Had a wind operation, and that certainly seems to have helped. But he was getting £10 from a few of his rivals there at Weatherby. So he's still not quite at the level, perhaps, as what he was a couple of years ago. But he's certainly back in form and a great winner for the Tizars, and he may well improve for that seasonal comeback. There's obviously the Haydock race as well, because you've got the triple bonus, million bonus for the three races. So that's obviously going to tempt a few people. And Hennessy does look like it's going to be a hot race. But if Kernigree runs, he's going to have a lot of weight, and he'll keep the weights down and probably restrict the chances of quite a few of them. So it will be an interesting race. Safir de Ruhr, it was only a free runner event at Carlisle, but the young master, he's no slouch, and he beat him with ease. His jump is obviously going to put under much more pressure in the Hennessy. A big field handicap where they're going to go that much quicker, and he's not going to be able to get into a rhythm like he did at Carlisle. But Carlisle does take some jumping, So I think all will be pretty happy that he passed that test with ease. He was, I think he was 5-1 on or something. So he won as he was expected to. But I think he'll be happy. And Paul Nicholls generally leaves a little bit to work on. So I think they'll be happy. And for me, I think he could be a fascinating contender. Although obviously, big bucks. He went to the Hennessy with a very, very similar profile. And unfortunately, he hit the deck. But he ended up being the best world hurdler. So it'll be interesting to see what route Safedorou goes. And hopefully he, probably for connections, I'll be hoping it isn't a big bucks and he gets a clear round and goes very close to Hennessy. But he's a fascinating chaser for this season.
Yeah. He's obviously been campaigned both over fences and hurdles at the moment. I think they've got the big bucks thing in their mind a little bit.
Yeah, definitely. He's basically a carbon copy at the moment, really, to be honest. And like I say, probably not quite as good as big bucks over hurdles, or he's still got time to mature, but I think they hope he's going to be a better chaser than what big bucks was. But fascinating to see how his season develops.
And big bucks was in with a real chance of winning the Hennessy,
yeah,
as well,
definitely,
wasn't
he? And he's one of the favorites, and I think it was only the second last or very late that he unseated Sam Thomas. And like I say, obviously then history was made when he went back hurdling.
Final question of this week's Monday Jory then: who will end the flat season with a bang in the November handicap?
Well, it'll be interesting to see what the entries are today. But a couple that will be interesting are Seymour, because Brian Ellison does seem to target the November handicap. That perhaps would be one now, but I'd like to say until you actually really have a little look at the entries and see what's entered up. It's a tricky race because it really does come at the end of a very, very long season. And it's generally one that by horses has been kept fresh. So for me, I think you want to keep an eye on those kind of horses, because those that have been running in March, back at the start of the season, they've really been on the go for a long time now. So generally it's one that's more lightly raced, but I thought Seymour, for a trainer that does target that race, he could be pretty interesting.
Okay, anything else, James, before you before we move on?
Just say well done to Harry Dunlop, first Group 1 winner with Robin and Avon over in France in a mile and a quarter Group 1. And obviously Ryan Moore, what an effort. He rode in Keeneland Friday, Saturday, goes to Saint-Cloud in France Sunday, and he's off to Melbourne tomorrow, or he's currently in the air, I'd imagine, as we record this. So he certainly works hard. Best jockey in the world, but he's a proper hard worker as well.
I think he's done 15,000 miles over the last 4 days or something.
This is crazy. And the time zones, like his body for old jet lag can't be too good. But no, good luck to him. And like I say, he's best in the world, but he also works extremely hard. And like I say, no one deserves success more than Ryan Moore.
And he does all that travelling and he still gets winners.
Still gets winners.
I
doesn't smile.
I'd want to have a nap. I don't want to ride a horse.
That is different. But like I say, he does work extremely hard at it.
All right, then let's move on to Tuesday's action. We're going to look at a couple of races at Exeter, one at Redcar and one at Wolverhampton. So we'll get James's thoughts on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
We start in the 2 o'clock at Redcar, which is a Class 3 handicap. It's over a mile and a quarter. We've got a field of 10 here, James. Who do you like in there?
Yeah, the one I really like is one of the old faithful, Silvery Moon. The 8-year-old from Tim Easterby's yard has been in absolutely cracking form recently. He ran a cracker win second at Newbury in a valuable contest on Channel 4 a couple of weeks ago. Unfortunately, he got badly hampered about a mile out, and he did well to make up the ground and was clear second best. He's a little bit high in the handicap. This is certainly a dropping grade from that Newbury contest. He's top weight, and I think he's got a very, very good chance. He was a good second at Pontefract, beating just ahead off a £2 lower mark behind This Is The Day in a similar contest. And I'd say that was a really good effort off this mark at Newbury in a very valuable handicap last time out. So he's the one that I think got a great chance. Empress Ali is really improving nicely. She's won two of her last three starts at Chester and New York. Has gone up a fair way in the handicap, up £11, but she is improving, and fillies are improving, especially this time of year, can be hard to beat. So Silverman's certainly got a danger in Empress Ali, but whereas she's stepping up in grade, probably a slight drop in class for Tim Easterby's The Glass Gelding. You know what you're going to get. He's very, very consistent, always there or there or thereabouts. So I'd say I think he's going to be hard to beat. Of the others, Marikib, he just struggled off his higher mark at Newmarket last time, so I think he's vulnerable for David O'Mara. Elbow, he's pretty consistent, but he's behind Empress Ali last time. It looks like the handicap has just got hold of him. Now he's gone up £9 for that recent win at York. He's off a mark of 85. He's been running well off it, but he's just struggling to get his head back in front. So interesting race, but the one I'm going to go for is Silvery Moon for Tim Easterby and Paul Marrenan.
Silvery Moon, the selection for James in the 2 o'clock at Redcar. Then moving to Exeter next for their 220. This is the Holden Gold Cup Chase, a Grade 2 limited handicap. It's over 2 miles and 1.5 furlongs. Interesting renewal as well. You've got last year's winner, God's Own, coming back for another crack at it. You've got Saida Grugy, a former Queen Mother Champion Chase winner, who admittedly had a disappointing season last year, James. So we'll start with him on his reappearance.
Yep, Saida Grugy, top weight, 167. 11 stone 10 on his back. And to be fair, obviously last year nothing went right. Had a setback. Probably a little bit rushed, I suppose, to try and get him back for Cheltenham. He had his prep race and then he hit the deck. Won a weak handicap, to be fair, off 172 at Chepstow. And he wasn't quite right when never really travelling to finish fourth behind Dodging Bullets in the champion chase. And unfortunately hit the deck at Aintree when Joshua Moore rode him. So nothing went right, but I think we can just ignore last season. The vibes coming out of the Gary Moore stable seem to be pretty good. Jamie Moore obviously rides him every single day. He's done plenty of schooling. Haley's been interviewed a few times and said that he's in good shape. And it'll be fascinating to see how he gets on. He missed his intended comeback at Chepstow because he just wasn't quite right. So hopefully he's thereabouts now, and it'll be great to see how he gets on. But obviously it's not going to be an easy task given weight away to some decent individuals. Like I say, Lash's winner, God's Own, won this off a mark of 155. He's off a £5 higher mark this time around, but generally he goes well fresh. He's another one that had a decent enough season, to be honest. Wasn't disgraced when second by behind Undersir at Cheltenham in the Arkle. Obviously he was a novice last year when he won that race, so he's actually, despite winning a very experienced handicappers event, he went back into novice ranks and he had a good season. Interesting to see how he gets on or off 160 back in handicap company. Third Intention representing the Tizards. Their stars have really been in form this year, and he had a run at Cheltenham back in October. He was a good second to Astrakhan off 158, only up £2. He's fit and well, so it'll be fascinating to see how Third Intention gets on. He's probably the one with least questions to answer, I suppose, and he'd probably be the selection, to be honest, out of those top three in the weights, because we're not too sure what side of Grugy is actually going to turn up. And God's Own, can he defy a £5 higher mark than what he did last year? So the one I'm going to go for actually is the Tizard trained Third Intention. Of the other three, Vibrato Valter had a really cracking novice season, but I think he just came up a little bit short when he came up against stronger company, and that could be the same again tomorrow. Court Minstrel, he's really been making hay on the quicker grounds. I think it could just be a little bit too soft for him at Exeter, and Dunravenstorm might not be good enough. So Third Intention will be the selection.
Third Intention, the selection for Jameson in the Holden Gold Cup Chase at Exeter. Staying at Exeter for their 320 next. This is a Class 3 handicap chase over 3 miles. We've got a field of 14 here, James, and one of them are open races on the day.
Yeah, definitely. And interesting race to look forward to. Top weight Belmont has been extremely consistent for the Twiston Davises. Won at Ludlow, ending his season in good fashion in May, and his comeback was a pretty good effort when second to Dursley Sound, and he beat half length. Fortunately, handicapper has put up yet another £5, so he's off to a career high of 130. But he is consistent and he's open to plenty of improvement. But the one I do like is the Neil Mulholland trained What's Left, ridden by Noel Figley. Another one to start his season off with a win here at Exeter last time out. He's got form on soft ground, so despite that fact that it was on the good ground, I wouldn't be too concerned. He's up £8, but he could well be improving. He's likely racing, he's 7 years old, and he's probably going to be the selection. And what's a pretty tough race. Avieves Midnight Lira, that ran well, went second on her comeback at Fontwell, and she's won two of her last five starts, so she's certainly in good form. But handicapper might just be getting hold of her now, and like I say, fascinating race to look forward to. Venetia Williams had her first win of the season at Ascot. She tends to get going when the ground's pretty soft. She's got Sarok. Whether this one we need to run remains to be seen, but like I say, this is her time of year now the ground starts to get a little bit softer, and that'll be one to keep an eye on under the inform Aidan Coleman. But for me, I think I'm going to stick with What's Left for Neil Mulholland and Noel Feely.
What's Left the selection for James there then in the 320 at Exeter. I just noticed that Roose Blanc's running in that race as well, and he's
white horse.
One of the few white horses officially white as well. I know some of the grey horses look white when they get older, but there was only two or three last time I checked officially white. So
yeah, and he won last time out, to be fair, at Carlisle. Not been seen for 223 days. Kerry Lead now taking over the licence, very consistent. It'd be great to see how he gets on, but might just need that first run of the season.
Moving on to the final race that we look at, the 5.10 at Wolverhampton. This is a Class 4 handicap over 7 furlongs. It's for 3-year-olds and older, a field of 12 here, James, and plenty with chances.
Yeah, definitely. The one I'm going to go for is the one that's got lots of caution since form, and that is Arlecchino's Leap. It's a selection for Mark Usher and Liam Kinneary. This one, loads of caution since form. Last two starts at track were a second at Euston off 74, and then he won off 75 here 3 weeks ago. And you know what you're going to get with him. Drawn one, not a bad draw. He should be able to get a nice position on the rail and hopefully get the splits in the home straight. So he'll be the selection of the others. Ambitious Boy, he bounced back to form back on your weather at Wolverhampton last time out for Sarah Hollinshead. If he can build on that, he's probably worth a handicap because he won off 77 today's mark nearly a year ago. And like I say, he's pretty consistent once he gets going. So probably all weather is just his surface. Doesn't seem to handle turf anywhere near as effectively. That was a good effort when second behind Goldwater. So he's certainly one of the main dangers. The Foreign Diplomat has been very disappointing on the whole, but David O'Mara now trains him and he could be interesting. I'd say not really gone on from his first win back in May, but like I say, two runs for David O'Mara have been perhaps slightly better, and he beaten 2.5 lengths and fourth at Kempton last time, so he could well progress for his new stable. But I think Mark Usher's horse is pretty decent, so Arlecchino's Leap is the selection.
Okay, good stuff. As usual, James, let's just have a little bit of a summary. If you'll spin us through your selections for Tuesday one more time.
Yeah, at Redcar at 2 o'clock, we've gone for the old favourite, Silvery Moon, cracking second when he got hampered at Newbury last time. Back in a slightly weaker race, I think he can get back in the winner's enclosure. Holden Gold Cup, Exeter's big race of the year, can be won by third intention for Colin Tizard and Daryl Jacob. Cracking second on his comeback 3 weeks ago. He's got fitness on his side, less questions to answer, so he's the one for me. The 3.20, I'm going to go for the improving What's Left, who won over course and distance 26 days ago. Hopefully he can keep progressing. And then finally, at Wolverhampton, in the 5.10, we've gone for Arlecchino's Leap for Mark Usher. He's got loads of course in his form, and I think he can win again.
Good work. Thank you very much, James. Good luck and enjoy on Tuesday.
No worries. Thank you very much.
So there you go. The thoughts of James Millman on Tuesday's racing. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 12:20 p.m. with Sam Turner, Andrew Mount and Ross Brierley in the studio. Good card to look forward to at Exeter. The Holden Gold Cup is the feature race on their card. We've also got racing on the turf at Redcar, all-weather action at Southwell and Wolverhampton, so plenty to look forward to, and you'll hear it all on Racing Radio. So do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast, and enjoy Tuesday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.